within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy and renew the right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation and renew the right spirit within me.
Let's stand this evening. This is 320 in your hymn book. How many believes we're going to live in glory one day? Amen.
Well, I'd like to stay here longer than in the light of days and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, well, I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing life's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I want to be of service along this pilgrim way and lead the lost to Jesus as fervently I pray. As day by day I travel, I'll keep Him ever nigh and live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing life's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. The end I know it's nearing, by faith I look away to yonder home supernal, that land of endless day. I'll cling to Him forever and look beyond the sky. Well, I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. Well, I'll tell and sing life's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more. this pilgrim way and lead the lost to Jesus as fervently I pray. As day by day I travel, I'll keep him ever nigh. Well, I'll live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. Well, I'll tell and sing life's story there on high. There with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by.
Greet your neighbor and shake their hand.
Forward to it.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to be in service again together. Want to continue to remember Sister Angela Layton not feeling well, and also Josiah Allen not feeling well. And want to remember Sister Faith Neighbor. She's not feeling well this evening. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. The Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, would you just come this evening and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be in your house this evening. Good to be back amongst the saints, Lord, and feel your sweet presence. Fill the room as we worship you, Lord. We come to you tonight, Lord, because there's no other place that we can go. As Peter said many, many years ago, where would we go to? Thou alone have the words of eternal life. We believe that we heard some of those words this morning as you spoke to us, Lord, through Brother Nathan. And Lord, we're just believing that you're going to speak again this evening. We came with that expectation to hear from you. We bring these requests to you, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we don't have the ability and the power within ourselves to solve these issues, Lord, and these requests, Lord, but we know that you do have it. And so we turn them over to you. We bring them and we lay them at your feet, believing, Lord, that when we ask, Lord, again, as Peter said, we know that when we ask, that you hear us when we pray. And when you hear us, Lord, we know that you would respond to your children. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and glory this evening that we have a God that can answer prayer, a God that hears, Lord, and knows the burden of each and every heart that's gathered in this place. Lord, there's not a thing in any life here that's hid from you. We might hide it from each other. We might hide it from our spouses or our family. But, Lord, it's not hid in your sight. And we just ask that you would come tonight and let us know, Lord, that you're aware of every situation. You're aware of every problem that we have and that you already have the answer. You already have it solved. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Treasure Bryant. Treasure, sure appreciate that. This time we have a special from Sister Christy here in Basing. Sure appreciate that song. God bless you, sister. Sure appreciate our specials this evening. Amen.
Amen.
I know a couple of you know this chorus, and some of you don't, so we're going to try to help you out. I've never sang it before, but I think my kids are tired of it. So I've been walking around singing it for the last several weeks, so you guys help me out here. I'm going to put some words up here so I can have full participation. So if you want to stand, that's fine too, but E-flat, brother.
Burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Oh, set my soul on fire. Oh, won't you fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. Oh, make me like the Christ of old, healing and raising the dead. Give me the power that Jesus had through the blood that was shed. Set my soul on fire. Oh, fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. Oh, make me like the Christ of old. Oh, healing and raising the dead. Oh, give me the power that Jesus had. Oh, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me. Lord, set my soul on fire. Yes, Lord. Oh, fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire. Oh, make me like the Christ of old, healing and raising the dead. Give me the power that Jesus had through the blood that was shed.
Amen. Is that your desire this evening? Amen. Amen.
Oh, swing low, sweet chariot. Oh, come and pour to carry me home.
Sometimes down, coming for to carry me home. Oh, but still my feet are heaven bound. Oh, coming for to carry me home. Oh, swinging low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm coming too, coming for to carry me home. Oh, swinging low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home, sweet low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. I believe it won't be long now. Right. Amen. Till one day that chariot will swing real low and just take us into another dimension. Amen. God bless you tonight. I want to pick back up where we've been looking some on our Sunday night services on the Beatitudes of Supremely Blessed. Want to look tonight at St. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Jesus speaking here on the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God."
Amen.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And just want to remind you again, that word beatitude means supreme blessedness or exalted happiness. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open up your word again tonight to look at it, Lord, as Brother Bram says many times, any man with the physical ability could turn back the physical pages of the Bible, but that it takes you, Lord, to open up the word to us and to speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. And we want to just invite you tonight. May it be more than just a man. May it be more than just a group of people gathering together. But Lord, may your presence be in our midst, Father. May you take complete control of this service. Lord, when we leave here tonight, may we be able to say, didn't our hearts burn within us as you spoke to us along the way? Amen. We'll give you the glory and the praise and the honor for it, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I want to look at this thought of peacemakers tonight in this line of thought that we've been looking at, and how that Jesus said that these peacemakers would be called the children of God. I don't know of any other higher blessing than to be called one of his children. Maybe you was born into a good family. Maybe you married into a good family. I don't know what your situation is tonight, but this was one family, Brother Bram said, we couldn't join, but we were born into it, into the family of God. There's not a church that you can put your name on the book and be a part of it. There's not any type of work that you can go through to do it. No amount of rituals or law following that could have got us to this condition, but we're born into the family of God. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he points out to us that this thought of peace is actually part of the fruits of the Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, when we look at this as the description of the fruits of the Spirit, sadly, we can look around a lot of so-called Christians and even a lot of so-called message believers, and you find them come up lacking in some of these areas. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are the fruits of the Spirit. This is what the bride of Christ should be manifesting in our life. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, he wasn't talking about tomatoes and potatoes, but he was talking about the fruit of the Spirit that was being manifested in our life. So Paul picks this up and says that this thought of a peacemaker, that thought of peace, having peace within us and projecting peace to others, was part of the very fruits of the Spirit. James, in James chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Where there's envying and strife, it's confusion. It's all, I'm with this one and I'm with that one, and this one's greater and this one's lesser, and this over here and this over there. Envying and strife and confusion, he says, it's every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Oh, Lord, if we could just fit this description of a Christian, we'd be a lot better off. Without hypocrisy and without partiality. What does that mean? That means that how I treat Brother Hoover, I've got to treat everybody else. How I respect one brother is how I should respect everybody else. How I respect one sister, how I treat Sister Layton is how I should treat you other sisters. It's because if not, what we do is it's with partiality and it's with hypocrisy. That, oh, God bless you, I love you, but I really love Brother so-and-so better. Oh, God bless you, I've got respect for you, but really I've got a lot more respect for Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so. But it should be without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know, the Bible teaches us that God is not a respecter of persons. And we sing, oh, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. But if we're not careful, we put the pastor way up here and the deacon over here and the trustee over here and the janitor down here and the children down here. And then, you know, somebody that's just a lay member way down here. And we have these levels of respect and levels of partiality and levels of how we treat people. But God's not a respecter of persons, so we shouldn't be either. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, what he's telling us, we should be peacemakers. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. I remember as a little boy at the tabernacle when Brother James Phillips, I was probably about 8 years old or so when he had his first pacemaker put in, and he's had several put in since then, because I'm quite a bit older than that, and they usually only last about 10 years, I think the battery does or something like that. And when I heard this scripture read, I thought they were saying, blessed are the pacemakers. Brother Yarborough can probably say amen to that tonight, but blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that go about and put peace in front of everything that they can. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 8, Solomon tells us, he says, there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. There's a time that we have to go to war, and there's a time that we should make peace. How can we distinguish those? Jesus said we should be peacemakers. But yet Solomon says there's a time for war. As I quoted to you a few Sundays ago, I believe it was Stonewall Jackson, when some of his cadets at a military college that he taught at, they were getting some disturbances there and some protesters and things coming up to him and trying to pick a fight with him. And he was their professor, and they wanted him to say something to the cadets there. And he stood up and he said, now is not the time to fight. But he said, the time to fight is coming soon. He said, when that time comes, he said, pull the sword from the sheath and throw away the scabbard.
In other words, if you're going to fight, you fight until it's finished. You fight until you get it over. But Solomon tells us there's a time of war and a time of peace. If we could just learn this in our own families, if we could learn it in our churches, if we could learn it in the situations at our work, if we could learn it in our situations that come up around the message, around our churches, around our schools, whatever it would be, we would be a lot better off distinguishing the time of war and the time of peace. We should be peacemakers. We should go to every extent that we can to make peace in your home. We shouldn't be at each other's throat all the time in our homes, and the children fighting the children, the parents fighting the parents, and the uncles fighting the aunts, and the siblings fighting this and that and the other, and the parents and the children back and forth and all that. It shouldn't be a thing of war. There should be peace in the home. The church shouldn't be a place where we come and fight one another and argue with one another and bicker back and forth with one another. It should be a place of peace. But yet, Brother Branham said, there will come a time that Satan will try to send in somebody and he'll shoot him full of poison darts and he'll begin to take through the church with it. And he told us how to deal with those situations. He didn't say baby it and pet him and compliment him and pat him on the back. He told us how to handle those situations, but he didn't teach us that the church should always just be in a constant uproar and stress and troubles and things like that. It shouldn't be a constant time of war. There's a time of peace too. And many times what we get ourselves in the condition of, because we've gone through many dangers, wars, and strifes, we have already come, that because we've been insulted in the past, we've been treated bad in the past, we've been scarred in the past, maybe the leadership at some church has let us down, maybe somebody in our family has let us down, maybe our friends back in school, we thought they were really our friends, and they turned their backs on us. And if we're not careful, we begin to project this attitude. Why? Because we're battle scarred. We come back with some shell shock from some of these battles that we've went through. We come back with some post-traumatic stress disorder that we've been through all kinds of things and seen all kinds of things, and we've seen false doctrines and we've seen false teachers and we've seen people try to abuse their authority and we've seen people try to do all kinds of different things, and we've been in a battle so long that we enter in battle mode if we're not careful into everything that we do. Well, bless God, I'll just take care of this. But there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. And when you've been in war for a long time, you have to realize when you come back from your deployment and you're back at home, every restaurant you go into, you can't pick a fight with somebody just because you've been used to being out there in war and fighting the devil. Well, praise the Lord. There's a time of war and there's a time of peace. Some of you that maybe your children aren't serving the Lord the way that you'd like to see them serve him, or maybe they've strayed, maybe they've left the message, or maybe they've just got pulled off into the world and they're dabbling in this and they're dabbling in that, and every time you get around them, you want to stuff it down their throat. Be careful. There's a time for war and there's a time for peace. And there might be a time when you have to stand toe to toe and tell them, look, I disagree with everything that you stand for, and I'm standing with the word no matter what you do. But every time you get around that person, whether it's a child or an uncle or an aunt or a mommy or a daddy or a friend or whatever it is, you don't have to have a war mentality and go on with your shield and your spear and your battle axe and say, I'm going to show them tonight. What you'll do is you'll wind up pushing that person away that maybe you could have helped if you would have approached it with a little bit of gentleness and meekness, brotherly kindness, temperance, some of these fruits of the spirits, peacemakers. Peacemakers. That doesn't make us wishy-washy. That doesn't mean that we should just sit down and let people just shove us around indefinitely. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't take a stand for what we believe. It means that we shouldn't go into every room and every church and every situation prepared for war and thinking, well, I'm going to fight them tonight. I'm going to show them today. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Try the peace way first. Try the peace way as long as you possibly can. Approach it peaceably. Be a peacemaker until you have no other option but to stand and say, look, I want to have peace, but I'm not going to compromise. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love, not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. You don't just have to swallow down everything that comes along just to make somebody happy, but we should be peacemakers. We should be able to try to reach out. You know, I was sitting in a brother's home the other day, and he began to talk about some things that he was excited about and some things that he thought he saw that was happening, things. And I disagreed with him about as 100% as I could have. But I just sat there and smiled at him and nodded. God bless you, brother. That's wonderful, brother. I'm glad you've been getting blessed. I'm glad you've been feeling that way. I completely disagree with him. You say, oh my, you're just an old compromiser. No, I was trying to make peace as long as I could make peace. And I didn't want to run down the man or his situation or anything that was going on. But there may come a time when the brother pushes it and he asks me, well, what do you feel about that? And I'll have to tell him, well, I'll just have to be honest with you. This is how I feel. And he may not like it. But until we get to that point, I'm going to be as peaceable as possible as I can. I'm not going to try to fight with every brother that comes along. You know, you're back in the back seat somewhere so far behind that it's miserable. I don't have to fight with everybody that I disagree with. But there does come a time where we have to stand for our convictions and say, look, brother, I just don't see it that way. I love you, but I don't see it that way. David says in Psalms 120, verse 6, he said, my soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. You ever been around anybody like that? I'm for peace. I don't know about you. Anybody that's sat under my ministry very long knows that I want to draw the circle bigger. I want to see peace. I want to see brothers and sisters get along around this message, even if I don't agree with them 100%. I want to be able to fellowship with them, and I want to try to encourage them, and I want to see them get closer to God, and I want to see me get closer to God through it all, too. I don't want to get to an opinion where I become some self-righteous something that I think I know it all, nobody else don't know nothing. No, I believe I can still get help, too. I believe I still need encouragement, too. I believe I still need to learn as well. In fact, there's hardly a week goes by the grace of God, that I'm not learning something and progressing, whether it be from listening to the message or talking to brothers or hearing some godly minister preach, whatever it would be. I'm still growing. Now, a lot of people, sadly, around the message have got to the spot they can't admit that. They think that they know it all and everybody else is just idiots, but I'm still growing by His grace. I'm still growing. I'm not so big that I can't still be taught something, but I'm still growing and I'm still learning things, and I'm for peace, but there's some that you get around them, as David said there, he said, I'm for peace, but when I speak, they're for war. There's some people, no matter what you say, no matter how you present it, no matter how nice you try to be, and no matter how much peace you try to present it in, they've come with their sleeves rolled up and they're going to fight. And it don't matter how much you're for peace, they're for war. But thank God that we was taught how to deal with things like that too. Amen. Brother Bam said, sometimes he said, Brother Neville, he said, he's humble. He said, but sometimes he's too humble. You know, and people kind of push him around things, and he's just so humble and so kind, he doesn't want to say anything. But he said, it just so happens that I'm able to say those things. Now, I don't want to get you wrong and make you think that I'm trying to make myself like Brother Branham, but I kind of lean a little bit more that way than Brother Neville's way, maybe more than I should sometimes, because of my human nature, which is the Bryant nature, which is where I came from. Amen. And I can be humble, Brother Lee. It's the Lord that does it. I can't make myself be humble. You can tell if somebody is making themselves humble, but the Lord can make me humble. But Brother Branham said, many times we misunderstand what that word humble means. He said, there was nobody more humble than Jesus. Nobody more humble than Jesus, true humility. Jesus, when he came to the earth, here he was, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the highest of high, the greatest of the greats, and he came and was born in a manger, in a stable, in a barn over a manure pile. And he didn't have a beautiful blue blanket to be wrapped in. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Humbled himself to come the very lowest of route. He humbled himself to take on the lowest job of the entire generation, the foot wash flunky. And he humbled himself to wash his disciples' feet. And they weren't feet that had just been, you know, washed in some type of Dial soap or something. They was old, dirty, sweaty, stinky feet that had been walking the streets of Nazareth and Jerusalem and dust and manure and everything that they tread through with their open sandals. I know there's some brothers that are against open sandals, but as I was talking to brother today, Jesus wore them. A lot of people come up with all kinds of ideas without a quote or a scripture to back it up. I'll just stay with what the Word said. Yeah. Amen. If I can just live what the Word said, I'll be doing okay. Not all this other stuff that everybody tries to inject into it. But here they were walking along in their sandals all the mud, all the stink, all the smell, and he humbled himself to get down on his knees and wash their feet. You talk about humble. You talk about humble, being able to descend from the highest of highs, the creator of heavens and earth, and he went and washed the dirty feet of his creation. The creator of heavens and earth, that Brother Branham said the most beautiful places that he'd been to, some of them, was Banff and Jasper up in British Columbia. He said he wanted to spend the millennium up there. So I believe that's where I'm going to spend the millennium too. I'm going to be knocking on his door, driving him crazy. I'm going to be right up there, the cabin to the left of Brother Branham's with the smoke and the chimney. That'll be me. You just come by and visit me sometime. He was up there and he said it was the most beautiful area that he had ever been to. The creator that created these beautiful flowers that they planted out here, that created the seas and the mountains and the skies and the beautiful sunsets that no artist could ever paint it the way that he paints it. And yet he didn't come to a great mansion. He didn't come to a great beautiful thing. He comes to a cave that was made into a stable, a little hole in the wall. That's where he came. He humbled himself. But yet, Brother Branham said, this same man that could humble himself, he could also straighten up those shoulders and bind the cords and run those men out of the temple that was doing things that they shouldn't be doing, making a disgrace of his father's house. Oh, he was humble. But there was a time that he could stand and face a challenge too. There was time that he could stand and not compromise with the word. He was humble and he was a peacemaker, but there came a time when he had to stand and say, look, you're of your father, the devil. Jesus, the God of love, turn to somebody and say, you're of your father, the devil. Oh, that doesn't sound like much love. Yeah, that's because you're used to Joel Osteen love instead of real true godly love. The Uncertain Sound, 1955. Blessed is the man, said David. No uncertainty to him. That man knows what he's talking about. I don't care what the world says. What you say about him, try to make him mad. He won't get mad. I don't care how much you talk about him. He won't pay no attention to it. He will go on because he's got a blessing in here. He will pray for you. That's right. You might do anything in the world. He never pay no attention to it. Won't backbite his neighbors and go around and stir up trouble. He will be a peacemaker. Amen. He will do everything he can, for he's a child of God. Blessed is that man, yes. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now notice, he's not talking about compromising with the word. He's not talking about just sitting by and getting, you know, pushed around. This brother says this and that brother says that. He's talking about when they're talking about you. Oh, brother so-and-so, he's just to this and he's just to that. Not riling back and saying, I'll prove to you what I am, rolling up your sleeve and getting your temper up. No, they can say whatever they want about me. It ain't going to change what God thinks about me. Amen. Why should I get upset? Why should I get worried? Why should I get distraught? Why should I fight back? God's fighting my battles. Amen. But when it comes to the word, there's a time to be humble when it's about you. But when it comes to the word, there's a time to stand and say, I'm standing for the word, regardless of what comes and goes. I want to make peace as long as I can, but I'm not going to compromise with the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Amen. That's pretty simple. You live in peace. You do all that you can to be a peacemaker. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, this takes prayer. And this takes patience. And this takes God to be able to stand there when somebody's trying to push you around and trying to get you to do something. Maybe up in your face trying to pick a fight with you. And you keep choosing peace, peace, peace. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. But I want to look for a moment at this, what he tells us before that. He says, be perfect. Now, that's not an easy order to fulfill. Jesus said basically the same thing in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. He says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, how are we going to do this? Paul tells us, the first church age messenger, be perfect. And Jesus comes along and he says, not only that, don't just be perfect, but be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I don't know about you, but I can't do that on my own. Amen. Maybe you think you can, but I can't do that on my own. There's no perfection in me to begin with. There's failure, there's sin, There's temper, there's anger, there's anxiety, there's all kinds of things that the devil tries to attack on us from the beginning. Maybe bitterness or whatever it would be. Come to the world speaking lies, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That was what was in us. But now Paul tells the same vessel with all this going against us, be perfect. Jesus said, not only that, but be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. How are we going to do it? Leviticus chapter 22 verse 21 said, and whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a free will offering in beeves or of sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. We've got to present a perfect sacrifice.
Amen.
It's got to be perfect. Not a blemish. Not a mark. Not anything. How are you ever going to do that on your own? Identification 1963. He said, notice, see, his sinless nature expressed what he was. He then, if his sinless nature, God expressed himself through that sinless nature, it shows that our nature is evil. And is no matter how much we try to patch it up, or how much we try to indoctrinate it with other things, it's got to become sinless like his was. How is this nature ever going to become sinless like he was? He says, and then God's word can flow through it. That don't mean perfection in yourself. You can't be that.
Amen.
I'm so thankful he said that. That don't mean perfection in yourself. You can't be that. There's no way you can attain to that. There's no way you can be perfect on your own. You couldn't educate yourself enough. You couldn't train yourself enough. You couldn't go through enough rituals enough. There's no way that you can have perfection in yourself. You can't be that. But that atonement that he was talking about there in Leviticus, it had to be perfect. That's why we couldn't come and make it on our own. That's why I don't care how good and how starchy and how self-righteous you were, you needed a Savior. But you see, even our people are getting away from the practice of holiness. Oh, my. We begin to let down so many bars. He said, we got to come to that place of our profession. He is our example. He is our sin bearer. Now, he's telling us he's made an atonement for us. It's not that we can be perfect on our own. We can't do that, but yet our sacrifice is perfect.
Yeah.
But yet we don't just stop there and say, well, I've got a perfect sacrifice, so I'll go out and live any way I want. He said, we have to come to that place of our profession so that if we're professing that we're a Christian, we'll live like a Christian.
Amen.
If we're professing that we're a Christian, we'll talk like a Christian. We'll act like a Christian. We'll even dress like a Christian.
Amen.
Then if we profess that he is our peacemaker, he is our propitiation. Then if we profess that, then that is supposed to reflect him back in us. And we are written epistles, a looking glass that people can see Christ in us. And now if they don't, then we're looking at something else and we're not looking to him. Now when you look through a looking glass, it's not the looking glass that you're seeing. It's whatever the looking glass is pointed at. You can point it at a mountain, you can point it at a tree, you can point it at a person, you can point it at whatever you want, but the looking glass isn't going to reflect itself, but the looking glass will reflect whatever direction it's pointed to. You can look at people real quickly and find out what they're pointed towards. Why? Because their very life is a reflection. It's a looking glass of what direction they're headed in. You can see if their eye is on Calvary. You can see if it's on a person. You can see if it's on an occupation or some type of popularity or whatever it'll be. Whatever they've got that looking glass pointed to, whatever their desire, whatever their motive, whatever their ambition, it's going to reflect in their life because we're just a looking glass that others look through and see what we're pointed at. Let me read it again. We're written epistles, a looking glass that people can see Christ in us. And now if they don't, then we're looking at something else and we're not looking to him.
Amen.
Perfection, but not perfection in ourself, perfection through our sacrifice. But if we're truly pointed at our sacrifice, we'll begin to reflect the way that he was.
Amen.
We'll begin to act the way that he acts. We begin to live the way that he lived. We'll begin to talk the way that he talked. I wonder if he was here today. You know, we... We live in an age of confusion, an age of technology, an age of different things. I wonder if he was here today in this age of social media and all the craziness and things out here. I wonder if he would accept our friend request. I wonder if he could follow us on Instagram, or if he'd have to unfollow us because he'd be so grieved. I wonder if he'd have to unfriend us on Facebook because he'd be so grieved at the things that we were doing and saying and showing to the world. I wonder if he would have to block our posts because of our constant negativity and our constant running other people down, our constant backbiting and discussing things that we should keep private and things like that. I wonder what he would do. I wonder what his attitude would be towards us. Quiet in here tonight. I wonder what his attitude to us would be. I wonder if he would be ashamed of us. I wonder if we would be even feel even worthy to send him a friend request. He knows more than what you're doing on social media. He knows what you're doing in your backyard. He knows what you're doing in your basement. He knows you. He sees you wherever you're at. Life 1958. And today you take women come down the street with these little skirts on. That's so tight and so sexy dressed and call themselves Christians. Don't act like the King of Heaven's daughter. Not conducting yourself. And look, tell me you something, sister. I'm going to say this for your good. When the judgment comes, you're going to answer for committing adultery. What does this have to do with peacemakers, Brother Nathan? Well, he said, blessed are the peacemakers because they'll be called the children of God. Right. So if we're children of God, we should act like children of God. People don't have to wonder very much when they look at me that knew my daddy when he was a little boy. They're able to, when we go down to his hometown in Liberty, Kentucky for apple festivals and things, they're able to recognize, you must be Jerry's boy. Some of the ways that I acted as a kid, my Uncle Morse would say, well, I know where he got it from. That's how his daddy acted. Now you can take that good, bad, or indifferent, whatever you want. But we was at a restaurant a while back and my little boy Philip was sitting at the table and we ran into an old friend of mine. And she said, you can tell that's Nathan Bryant's boy. He can't deny him. What was it? He was a reflection of what I am. Right. And so if we're Christians, if we're Christ-like, if we're children of God, we should be reflections of what he is. Amen. So that it don't matter if somebody sees us in Walmart or somebody sees us down on the street or if they see us at the gas station or they see us on Monday or they see us on Sunday or they see us on Wednesday or they see us on Thursday. We're children of God.
Right.
We're children of God, not just on Sunday, not just come to church and put your church clothes on. Well, I'm a message believer on Sunday and then go out on Monday and be something else. We're children of God.
Amen.
We should be a reflection of God. They should be able to look at us and recognize that's a son or a daughter of God. I know I can recognize something about them. The attributes that God has, I see those same attributes in them, just like people can see in our children, whether it's good or bad or whatever. Like Brother Hoover was talking about, you know, a Hoover being a Hoover. You know, you just, for good, bad, or worse, or whatever it is, you're able to recognize. Oh, I know where that came from. From your granddaddy or your grandmammy or your mommy and daddy, whatever it is. Why? Because you're a reflection of them. So if he's our father and we're his children, sons and daughters of God, we should be a reflection of him that others can see his life living through us to where they wouldn't get us mistaken and say, now, wait a minute, who is your daddy again? But they can see, I know he's a child of God. I know she's a daughter of God because I see a reflection of his image in them. I recognize something in it. Oh, help! God help us to be in that manner. Brother Bram said that slave owner down there, way down in the south, he said he was selling some slaves and the guy came by to buy some and he began to look him over. He said, I want to buy that one right there. And he said, he's not for sale.
Right.
Not for sale. He said, well, I'll give you a lot of money for him. Not for sale.
Right.
My, he looks so much happier than the rest of them. Is there something different about him? Do you feed him better? Nope, he eats in the galley with the rest of them.
Right.
Oh, do you treat him better? Is he a boss over the rest of them? Has he got some authority? Nope, he's just a slave like the rest of them out there. Has to go through the same things that all the rest of them do. Well, what's different about him? There's something different about him.
Right.
Now, here's this big group of slaves, but there was something about it. He can identify a characteristic in this one man that was different than all the rest of them. They were in the same circumstances. They were being treated the same way. They were being fed the same food. They were getting the same amount of sleep. They were going through all the same trials. But this one stood out among the rest. He said, I wondered that for many years myself. But he said, I began to investigate a little bit, and I found out way back over in the homeland, he's a child of the king.
Right.
Mm. There was something about his attitude and the way he held himself and the way he lived his life in the exact same environment and the exact same situation with the exact same circumstances. He stood out among the rest. Why? Because he was a child of the king. There's something about it. You can place a Christian in an environment, whether it's a school environment, whether it's a work environment, whether it's a family environment, whatever it would be. And you can place them, maybe they're in the exact same circumstances as their coworkers. Maybe they're in the exact same atmosphere as their coworkers. And maybe everybody else grumbling and complaining and living all kinds of lives and going out and running around on the weekend. But there's that one that'll stand out amongst the rest. No matter what they throw at him, no matter what comes and goes, no matter how many cigarettes or beer bottles or drugs they put underneath their nose and say, why don't you try some of this? No matter how many magazines they wave in front of their face, or no matter how many half-dressed women walk in front of them, there's something that'll be different about that one that's a real true Christian, because way over in the homeland, they've got some representation. Amen. That they're a child, they're a son or a daughter of the king, and they can live down here in the same environment, in the same atmosphere, but yet their life will stand out amongst the rest because they're a child of the king. He says, in God of this evil age, 1965, oh women, I've scolded you this morning, not me, I've only quoted the word. Short hair, them little old clothes, dressing yourself real sexy. Don't you realize that the spirit, you may be clean, sister dear, when it comes to your body, but in your soul, don't you see what's got a hold of you? Would God make his daughter look sexy to deceive his own son, to lust after her, to make them both be answer for adultery? Would he do it, sister? Ask yourself that question. No, not by 10 million miles. Don't lay that onto God. Don't lay that onto God. People say, well, don't condemn me. Don't condemn my conscience. He said in the same sermon, he said, well, that's because she's got no more conscience than a snake's got hips. I don't lay it on the women, whether it be in the message, around the message, under the message, to the left or the right of the message, out in the denominations, out in the world, whatever it would be. I don't lay it so much on the women sometimes, but it's their weak, spineless husbands that won't tell them how to dress right, either because they're afraid of them or because they want them to dress that way. They want to present them out there like a trophy wife. Don't you realize, in this age of evilness and perversion and things, Brother Bram said, they'll be held accountable for committing adultery at the end time, at the day of the judgment. Why? Because they was presented out there in that way where other people could see them and look at them in a way that only you should look at them. What is it, Brother Nathan? Would God do that? Would God make his daughter dress like that, act like that, look like that out there? What is it? It's a veil that's put over their eyes. That they care more about what their husband thinks, or they care about more what somebody else thinks, or they want to present themselves in a way. And what is it? It's a spirit, just like anything else. Some spirits are easier to spot than others. Those type of spirits are usually pretty easy to see. You can look around if you've got eyes and see those kinds of spirits. And it's easy, we can preach on those kind of spirits, and you know, that's one thing. But then there's other spirits sometimes of pride or bitterness or malice, or things like that, that people are able to hide a little bit more. But those things are just as bad as lust or adultery or anything else. Sin is sin. Brother Bram said there's not any big sins and little sins. It's all sin. So whatever it is that's in your life, we're supposed to be an attribute of God. We're supposed to be reflecting his image. Why? Because we're sons and daughters of God. If we're going to be peacemakers, what good is it to be a peacemaker if we're not a son or daughter of God? The point of the peacemaker is to have representation that you're a son and daughter of God. But if you're a son and daughter of God, you'll act like a son and daughter of God. The world is falling apart in 1963. Oh, if we are the sons and daughters of the King of Kings, let's conduct our character as Christians. That's right. Yes, we are aliens. We are pilgrims and we're strangers here. This is not our world. We are seeking a kingdom that is to come. This is not our home. Though we be tossed about and made fun of by the world and called this, that, and the other, and old-fashioned and all like that, what do you care? You don't want to be patting yourself after some kind of movie star or some television star or something. You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. Let's act like God. We are the children of God. We know and we are the sons and daughters of the King. Let our character reflect His presence no matter how rough it gets. That's my desire tonight. May my character reflect His presence no matter how rough it gets. Oh, Brother Nathan, did you hear what this one did and that one said? Did you hear what these are doing over here? Did you hear what's going on in politics? Did you hear about this one turning away from the message and this one falling in sin and this one's coming against us and that one's coming against us and political pressures and economical pressures and things? Lord, let me reflect Your character and Your presence. May my character reflect Your presence no matter how rough it gets. There were some Hebrew children down in Babylon one time. They weren't the only ones that was taken down there. There were thousands upon thousands that was taken into captivity. But there were these four that stood up, stood apart from the rest. You remember when Brother Donnie was here in 4th of July meetings a couple years ago and he preached on assimilation and how to assimilate is to be able to transform yourself into whatever condition you are. If you're not careful, you begin to assimilate. When the devil puts something out there, you begin to assimilate to that or whatever it would be. But there's also an assimilation that when God puts something out there, we can assimilate to that. Amen. And say, oh, Lord, if this is Your word, then I want to become a part of that. But the problem is many of us, if we're not careful, you know, we talk about peer pressure and things as young people, and that's things that a lot of these young people are facing in their schools and the different places that they go. Pressures from within the message, pressures from without the message, pressures from children at school, whatever it would be, and they're pressured to become like the rest of them. Everybody else is doing it. Why don't you do it? Everybody else does this. It's Sister so-and-so does it, and she believes the message. Why don't you do it? Brother so-and-so does it, you know, and he knew the prophet. Why don't you do it? He says it's okay. Well, I don't care what so-and-so says. I'm going to stay with what the Word says. Right. I don't want to assimilate to what everybody else is doing. I want to assimilate to the Word of God.
Amen.
But there were these four Hebrew children of the thousands that went over there. When it came time and the trumpet blowed and they said, everybody bow a knee. Brother Branham said, you notice Daniel wasn't there at the time. He said, because actually the image was made in the image of Daniel. He said, the Gentile dispensation came in with the worship of a man and it'll go out with the same thing, the worship of a man. And there Daniel was taken from the scene for a brief time. But these three Hebrew children, his buddies, they were faced with this choice. Bow down and worship with the rest of everybody. All these other thousands times thousands of people are doing it. Even the ones that came out into captivity with you from your homeland, they believe the same God that you believe. But all of them are bowing down and worshiping. Everybody else is doing it. Why don't you just go ahead? But there was something about it on the inside of them. They had chosen not to eat the king's meat or not to drink the king's drink or not to eat, to live the king's lifestyle, not that king, but the earthly king, because they had already found a king that they were serving. And it didn't matter how many people they could line up and say everybody else is doing it. It didn't matter how unpopular it was. It didn't even matter if they were going to take him out and kill him. They were going to live like sons and daughters of the king. They were going to live like children of the king because they were of a heavenly kingdom. And all the pressure that was put on them, bow down or die, they stood there. In the same circumstances, the same environment, with the same threat that everybody else was facing. But there was three that said, we're not going to bend and we're not going to bow. God help us to take courage in this age. Whatever comes, whatever goes, I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'm not going to dress to fit in with the world. I'm not going to dress to fit in with how everybody else is dressing. I'm not going to dress to fit in with popularity. I'm not going to live to fit in with those things. I'm not going to live like they're living on TV or like they're living down the street or whatever it is. I'm not going to become a part of that. I'm going to become a part of the Word.
Amen.
What was it St. Paul said? Be not conformed by the things of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't conform to be like the world, but be transformed to be like Christ.
Amen.
Let me read it again to you. He said, let's act like God. We are the children of God. We know, and we are sons and daughters of the King. Let our character reflect His presence, no matter how rough it gets. Amen. Is that your desire tonight?
Amen.
Amen. If the musicians would come tonight, I want to be represented as a son of the King. I want to have representation that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter how heavy the pressure gets, that they can recognize he's a child of the King.
Amen.
He's a child of the King. Why? Because I'm a part of him from the beginning. I'm an attribute of him. Blessed are the peacemakers,
Amen.
For they shall be called the children of God. Oh, God, help us to be a peacemaker as long as we can. Help us to stand for the word uncompromising, but help us to draw the circle bigger. Help us to show as much love as we can, to reach out with as much love as we can, but yet speaking the truth in love. To be peacemakers as long as we can. But then when we get boxed in, somebody says, well, you got to either choose me or the word. Well, I love you, but I'll choose the word.
Amen.
I'll take the word. Amen. God, help us to be attributes of him. Attributes of his character. Attributes of his life living in us. Why? Because we're a son and daughter of the King. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. Amen. Are you a child of the King tonight? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. For his royal blood, oh, it now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched, so vile, now can sing. Praise God, praise God. Oh, I'm a child of the King. You see, once I was clothed in the wraps of my sin. Oh, I was wretched. The great King of all kings, in his pity and great love, oh, he took me under his wings. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm a child of the King. Oh, for his royal blood. Lord, it now child of the King. Oh, now I'm a child with a heavenly home and my Holy Father. Oh, he has made me his own. Oh, now I'm cleansed by his blood. Your life tonight. Oh, it now flows through. Oh, I want my character to reflect his presence. I who was wretched, oh, I was vile, now can sing. Praise God. I want my action to reflect his action. It, my words to reflect his words. 'Cause oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. Oh, I know his royal blood. Oh, it now flows through my veins. And I
Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I know sometimes when we get on these things, it makes us think, Lord, I want to be a reflection of your image. Maybe we can look back through our life, maybe the last weeks, months, years, whatever it would be, we see areas of our life that we know, God, it's not a reflection of you. It's something. The looking glass wasn't pointed just right. It was pointing at my own pride, or it was pointed at my own lust, or it was pointed at some temptation. It was pointed at some achievement that I've placed more importance on than you. God, I want the looking glass to be pointed solidly on you. Wonder how many would slip up your hand tonight and say, God, help me to reflect your character. Help my character to reflect your presence. Help my life to reflect your life. Help my desires to reflect your desires. I want to be in your image. I want to be more like you. I want the looking glass of my life to reflect what you would have me to be. Above what anybody else would say, above what anybody else would help want, above what anybody else would think, I want my life to be a reflection of you. I want the looking glass of my life. I want to place my priority above anybody else, above my own desires, above my family's desires, above the desires of my friends, above the desires of my own thinking. I want my life to be such a looking glass to where people would look and they would only see Christ Jesus. I want it to be a looking glass to where they wouldn't see my temper. They wouldn't see my stubbornness. They wouldn't see my weakness. They wouldn't see my inability, but the looking glass of my life would be so focused on him that they would see the attributes of him in my life, say, that's a son of God. That's a daughter of God. I see his attributes reflected. Oh, my, let's just pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, you see the hands. You see the desires of the heart. Father, sometimes we get distracted and sometimes we get our priorities all confused. Father, but the desire of our heart is to be a looking glass that others could see you. Lord, not that they would see us, not that they would see something that we've tried to make ourselves or something that we've tried to be. Not that they would just see the attributes that we inherited from our family or the attributes of our own desires have produced, Father. But Lord, that they would see godly attributes, that they would see heavenly attributes of eternity, that people could see meekness and gentleness and patience. They could see that we're peacemakers. They could see that we're the children of God. They could look at us through the looking glass of our life and see that it's pointed towards you. That our very desires, our very thoughts, our very intents, Lord, our goals and our achievements and all is resting solemnly in you. That anything good that we've accomplished isn't because of our own will, but it's because we were following your will. God, help us to give you the glory for these things in our lives. Lord, help our looking glass to stay focused on you. Help us not to turn to the left or the right because of what our neighbors are doing or because of what the people at our work are doing or what they try to influence us to do, because of what the people in our schools would do or because of what the people even around the message, many of them would try to say, well, we believe it's okay to do this and to do that. God, help us to keep singleness of heart, singleness of sight. May it be focused on you and your word alone, Father. May that be, Lord, the line that we weigh our lives upon. May that be the absolute that we point to, Father, not some man's opinion or somebody's way of doing it, Lord, but may we compare our lives in the looking glass of your word. Lord, may we look into the mirror of your word and see a reflection, Father, of our life living what your word has called us to. Satan would like to try to drag us down and keep us in the muck and mire that you brought us out of. But Lord, you've called us up to something higher. You've called us not to just live like the rest of the hustle and bustle of the world, but to stand apart to where people can see they're not like the others in their same circumstance. They're not like the others in their same environment, in their same generation of darkness and evilness that we live in, but they're a child or a son or a daughter of the King. I recognize something different in them. Way over in the homeland, they have representation. They live like it here because they're a child of God. They walk like Him. They talk like Him. They live like Him. They treat other people like He would treat them. They're peacemakers. Even when people try to push them around, they try to make peace. But yet they stand for the Word. They won't compromise. God, help us to reflect that godly attribute of You, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Be with each one tonight, Father, that lifted their hand. Lord, give them the courage, give them the strength to be a looking glass for You, Father. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. Oh, I know His royal blood. It now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and so vile, now can sing, praise God, praise God. Oh, why don't we stand and worship Him a little while tonight? The preaching's over. Let's just enter into worship. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. Oh, I know His royal blood. Oh, and I, who was wretched and so vile, now can see. Praise God. Praise God. I'm a child. Oh, let's sing it one more time together tonight. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child.
Amen. Is that how you feel tonight? Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together. I think it's the same key, if I can find it here.
Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Oh, I'm keeping my record right. I'm watching both day and night. I'm getting ready. Leave this world. Oh, the bride's getting ready to leave this world. Yes, the bride's getting ready for the gates of pearl. Oh, I'm keeping my record right. I'm watching both day and night. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Well, I'm laying up my treasures in that home above. I'm trusting, fully trusting in my Savior's love. I'm doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this old world. Oh, I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. And I'm keeping my record right. I'm watching both day and night. To prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I go. Oh, if it were not true, I would have told you so. There's just a little while we'll linger here below. Oh, I'm getting ready. Are you getting ready tonight? Oh, yes, the bride's getting ready to leave this world. His bride is getting ready for those gates of pearl. We're watching both day and night. Oh, you better get ready. Be prepared, little bride. Oh, yes, I'm getting ready. She has made herself ready. Oh, yes, the bride's getting ready for the gates of pearl. And we're keeping our record right, watching both day and night. Oh, I'm getting ready. Oh, let's just worship Him together tonight.
to prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I go. And if it were not true, I would have told you so. Oh, just a little while to linger here below. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. And I'm keeping my record right, watching both day and night. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I saw the light.
The man that wrote that died a drunk, but that didn't change the anointing on the song.
Amen.
Brother Bram said the man that wrote "There's a Fountain Filled with Blood" drove around and tried to commit suicide. Different ones that was anointed. That don't. Many times people look at this and say, "Well, I can't believe you'd sing this, or I can't believe you'd sing that." Don't you know who wrote it? Yeah, I know who wrote it. The Holy Spirit can anoint people. Brother Bram said even those that aren't really Holy Ghost filled, He can still come down and anoint them to do things. But there's something about it, that type of anointing, it comes and it goes and it leaves, and maybe men anointed to write great songs and things and go and do things like that, but yet there's something about it when the bride of Jesus Christ picks it up and begins to sing it.
Right.
It's a song, there's a little bit of difference to the song. There's a lot of people out here in denominations and things, some of these contemporary and southern gospel singers, and they get a song and they sing it, and maybe you listen to it and think, oh, I'm not sure about that, and then some saint of God come in and sing it and His presence come. What is it? There's anointing on the song, but maybe just the person singing it wasn't anointed in the way that they should be. There's something else. I love to hear the bride sing better than anybody. There's been a lot of great singers down through the ages, but there's nobody can sing like the bride. When we get over there and those thousands of voices begin to join in together. Oh, there's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share. Where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, singing, everybody will be happy. Oh, we'll be happy over there. I know we will shout, gonna sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, we'll be singing round that throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And all the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, oh, we'll
praises, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, we will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. And all the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. Oh, we will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, sing it. And no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. And all the people will be singing glory, glory to our Lamb. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know we will shout. We're going to sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy. Oh, let's sing it again tonight. Oh, saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. I'm gonna praise his name forever as I look upon his face. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Saved of earth shall soon the glory share. It's where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. We'll sing it. Gonna need it. We're gonna need it. Oh, God.
God I've got it. Thank God I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it like the Bible says.
Darkest night, Lord, all through the night, Lord.
my trial, Lord, right through my trial. Oh, right through this trial, Lord, right through this trial. Oh, while I'm tormented. I need Jesus to walk with me. Oh, be my friend, Lord, be my Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, now Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, for I heard his voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, now Satan, your Eden's coming down. Oh, listen, Satan, your Eden's coming down. Pray your kingdom down. Oh, listen, Satan, we're gonna pray your kingdom down. Oh, for I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, now, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, listen, Satan, we'll shout your kingdom down. Spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, you weren't born for this valley, but you were born for the sky. Oh, don't let your trials
to the ground.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond all my faults and he saw my need. I shall forever lift my middleman. singing once more.